Tony Wise. I'm the technical agronomist for Channel Seeds in southwest Minnesota.
Tony, let's begin with kind of a summary as to how the 2018 growing season has been in your region thus far. And I know weather's been the dominant thing.
Right, and it likely should be because it impacts so many different things in the way farmers manage their crops and other things. So for the most part, I think the key story this year for the growing season is just, number one, we had a late start relative to normal. In other words, we really didn't do anything in the field in April. But once we got to May, we were actually able to, in a lot of areas, able to get in, and one of the warmer Mays on record. And that warmth has continued through a good chunk of the growing season so far, up until just recently, where temperatures have been a little more moderate and have backed off. But the key piece to all of that is even though a lot of folks feel like they had a little bit later planting date, particularly with corn, the additional heat that we've had, we're running, I'm going to say probably at the end of this week, we'll probably be around that 200, maybe slightly less because of the cooler temperatures, but right around 200 growing degree units ahead of normal, which is you know, pretty fantastic considering where our planting dates were this year. So we're in a really good spot. I know the forecast looks like we'll have a little bit of a little bit on the cooler side coming up yet, but we're in a good spot. The other piece I would say with regard to corn is, as you take a look at, a lot of the pollinating happened, tasseling and pollinating happened towards that middle to end of July. And a good rule of thumb is around 60 days from that point in time till we get to black layer, which puts us, in that middle to end of September, which is a really nice time frame because there's usually a fair amount of heat left at that time to help dry the crop in the field. So we're sitting in a good spot as long as we don't experience significantly cooler than normal temperatures for the rest of the growing season.
Yeah, it's been a unique year, as you laid out, with the delayed planting, a lot of moisture, but then some extreme heat that has pushed those GDUs ahead of the average pace. So when you look at grain fill and the timing, like you just talked about, with pollination and just going through that reproductive cycle as we're now into August, are you feeling pretty optimistic about the crop that can be had? And I know there's still a lot of time left before the combines start rolling, but how optimistic are you about some really strong yields in southwest Minnesota, Tony?
So that's kind of a loaded question because I'm from a weather perspective, I'm very optimistic. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of folks that were really delayed in planting and lots of moisture that has caused some concerns with nitrogen levels in fields and stress just on the plants overall from too much water. If you have a nice looking field, though, I'm extremely optimistic with the cooler temperatures that we're experiencing. The 2 weeks or the week leading up to pollination and the couple weeks following pollination are critical for corn because at that point in time, the plant will actually or can actually abort ovules very easily if there's significant stress. And so we've had a lot of warm temperatures early, which helps build that factory, build the corn plant, and we've got some really nice looking fields out there. With the cooler temperatures, we don't have to worry about moisture stress or heat stress, and the ears actually aborting those ovules. So as you progress through the stages, the reproductive stages, it becomes less and less likely the further you get away from pollination that the plant will abort those ovules. So these cooler temperatures are really, really should allow the ear to be filled out to the end.
Last question I have for you on corn has to do with stands as we get closer to September, October, given that the planting was late, but then it got really hot and there's been so much moisture. When you look at root development and the standability of corn, how concerned are you about that becoming a problem, depending on how drawn out harvest might become?
Right. So, I'm probably not quite as concerned if it hasn't root lodged to date, which, with some of the storms have gone through, we've seen some of that. But from a root perspective, I feel relatively comfortable with the plant standing up with the roots that we've got. What I'm probably a little more concerned about is the potential for stalk lodging, and it goes back to the excessive moisture. Some fields maybe are a little short on nitrogen, and what will happen again with that ear is it will cannibalize the stalk and leaves to try and do everything it can to fill that ear. And so, I would probably be right now, I would say I'm a little more concerned about the potential for some stalk rots as we head into the late season and obviously, the weather between now and then, and a lot of factors will go into that, but that would be one thing I'm thinking about right now.
Anything else on corn, Tony, that you want to make sure we talk about?
Just one other thing I would quick mention is on corn rootworm. We are seeing an uptick in corn rootworm pressure this year, so I think that's important to note. The other thing that I would say that's a little bit odd about this year is if you do have one of those fields that was planted in extremely late May or early June, oftentimes those fields can act like trap crops. So when the beetles emerge, they may be in neighboring fields, and as the food source, the pollination gets over with there, and they see this later pollinating field, they can come from multiple fields, aggregate into that field where that's just pollinating now. And then next year or the following year, depending upon if you have northerns or westerns aggregating in the field, you can actually see some corn rootworm damage because that particular field acted like a trap crop, something that a lot of times we don't see it very frequently, but this year has that potential.
So the main reason you're seeing the increase in rootworm pressure is because of planting delays, essentially, then?
No, I don't know that it has a lot to do necessarily with planting date. I think it's just a matter of insect cycle back and forth with in terms of population and this year we're just seeing an uptick in some corn rootworm pressure in fields. I would say I've seen more probably to the western side of southwest Minnesota than I have to the central part. But what I'm talking about is if you have that really late planted field of corn, that the beetles will aggregate in those later in the season and continue to lay eggs in there. And so for future reference, you need to pay attention on those fields for potentially managing corn rootworm.
What are those management considerations? Would it be rotation the following year? Are there other things that growers can do?
So there's a couple of things. Yes. So number one, if you have a field that's pollinating right now, you should go out and scout it, particularly if you have a number of corn fields adjacent, and just double check that if the corn rootworm beetles have not moved in there because they can actually clip silks and prevent pollination. So if you have a field that's still pollinating, that would be number one. Then from there's an opportunity to potentially, if the population is high enough, you could spray the beetles yet this fall. And then from a rotation perspective, if it's corn on corn, and you've got northerns or westerns, northerns and westerns in the field, it would be appropriate to either use a trait or a soil applied insecticide to manage those potentially next year if there's enough beetles in the field this year. Looking 2 years out, if you see a lot of northerns, the potential for extended diapause is there as well. And you may want to, again, use a corn rootworm trait like Smart Stacks or corn soil applied insecticide.
Well, Tony, let's switch over to soybeans and tell me about the impact of the later planting, the moisture, the heat, and where the crop is at right now.
Right. So again, soybeans, I think considering the amount of moisture we've had, actually look pretty good. Look very good. From a development side of things, we're in that R3, R4 stage, probably more closer to R4, which is full pod, and there may be even a few fields out there of earlier soybeans that are into that R5 or beginning seed. The canopies on a number of fields are they're closing up, so that's a good thing. I'm actually pretty optimistic about our soybean crop if we can continue to get a little bit of a few shots of rain here as they're going through key parts of grain fill and flower flowering pod development and filling those pods up.
You mentioned canopy closure, and last year white mold was a major problem. It got cool in August, it was wet, and so that really helped that disease to spread. Is that something that's kind of on your radar right now again, Tony?
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, I was probably not quite as concerned about it because our temperatures had been so warm. Over the course of the last few weeks, where with cooler temperatures, I would anticipate that white mold will be showing up again this year. And the benefit right now is it seems like we, depending upon where you're at, things are a little bit drier. So you need both, the cooler temperatures help, as well as lots of, plenty of moisture. And we've been slightly drier lately, so that might help out a little bit. But I would definitely anticipate that we'll be seeing white mold again, in terms of how bad it is in a specific field. It comes down to the microclimate. If you have a really well canopied field, you're probably at more risk than if something isn't quite, canopied quite as well. So it is something, though, with the cooler temperatures that is definitely more of a concern. From a management perspective, I would say we're probably on the late side to be applying any type of a fungicide to try to have any activity versus the white mold. Probably, a week to 3 weeks ago would have been a better timing for that if you're gonna try to manage white mold.
Tony, it seems like most years this is the time of year when we start to really talk about soybean aphid pressure. In southwest Minnesota, what are the numbers like? Are there some treatments taking place because threshold levels have been met?
Right. So I do know that there have been a few treatments being made. So there's a few fields that have reached a threshold. But I think by and large right now, the populations are low across southwest Minnesota. However, in the last few days, there's been an uptick in aphid counts. And so we, aphids, what are they like for development? They like 70 to 85 degree weather and a little drier climate, which is exactly what exactly what we have. Those populations can double about every 2 to 3 days. So it's critical that you're, if you're going to be scouting, I would say scouting now through the next few weeks is going to be critical. And also keep in mind that the thresholds, the economic thresholds, are when you get to 250 aphids per plant on average, and 80% of the plants in the field have aphids on them, and the populations have been increasing and continue to increase, that's the economic threshold. It's not, well, there's 100 aphids per plant, and it looks like they're increasing, so I don't want them to get to 250. It's when you get to 250, it's time to start implementing that management tactic of an insecticide application.
It seems odd to say this, given how wet it has been across southern Minnesota, but a shot or two of rain would probably do some good on limiting the spread of aphids.
Yeah, you know, with a little bit of a little bit more humid conditions, again, that'll favor the white mold. But there are some natural fungal pathogens that help keep aphid populations in check when we do get that moisture. So and from my perspective too, I like to see frequent rains in early August really help our soybean crop from a yield perspective. And so we're in a good spot, and I do think that there is some rain in the forecast too. So I'm pretty optimistic about our soybean crop if we can catch some rains here in early August.
Anything else on soybeans?
No, that's it.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about briefly, Tony. Were there many prevent plant acres in your territory this year? Trying to get a ballpark idea from people that I've talked to from South Central to Southwest Minnesota, folks that tried to replant, and it just didn't work out, so then they got past the dates. Any idea how many prevent plant acres there might be in Southwest Minnesota?
So from my perspective, I would not give you probably a number. I would just tell you that it's very low. There's I've in my travels, I have seen periodically down along the I-90 corridor that you do, there were folks that did that. But if you look at it from a broad geography perspective, it's an extremely low number of acres in southern Minnesota.
All right. Anything else today, Tony?
No, that's I think I probably have given you enough material. I would say if anyone has any questions or wants help scouting, don't hesitate to contact your local channel seedsman.